Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Welcome back into The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. All right, Spectre is here. Spectre, I forgot that you had agreed to do this. Rob reminded me in the middle of the tease. I'm happy that he did. Today is day one of the NBA draft. Now, you and I both love the NBA, but yep. You and I both also know when it comes to the NBA draft, after about pick 8, this can just be an email. I don't need to watch it anymore.
It's definitely not a 4-hour TV event.
And it's a 2-day event now. They have the NBA draft today, and round 2 is tomorrow during the day.
I had no idea until you just told me that was true.
This is year 1 of them doing that. So they have now made it a 2-day event. So tomorrow, basically NBA Today or whatever that show is called,
yeah,
they're going to do round 2 of the NBA draft during their actual programming tomorrow.
No chance.
A terrible idea by the NBA. So I decided is let's celebrate the draft in our own way. And this is what we plan on doing. We are doing the appetizer draft. Now, we have all discussed the rules before because you always try to find some loophole. You try to circumvent it. You try to do something different. And we don't need to do this. These are appetizers that you would order at a restaurant.
Can I ask? I did think of a question in the break.
Of course you did. Before we came here, I said, do you have a question? You said, no, I don't. What's your question?
I assume wings are going to get drafted at some point.
Yes.
You cannot draft buffalo wings and then garlic parmesan wings.
Correct.
Wings are off the table once wings are taken.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And is there a difference between bone-in and boneless? Is that two different appetizers?
I would consider those to be two different appetizers.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
That's
Thank
what
you.
I would consider them to be two different
Those are
ones.
Fair questions. Yes. I feel like those are fair yes. questions to ask.
You can't get honey barbecue and now we just have a
wing off.
Yeah,
we're just having a wing off.
Yeah, we're not having a wing off.
Boneless wings and bone-in wings are two separate appetizers that you can both draft.
If you get the wings, you get all the sauces that come with
Beautiful.
It, too.
Beautiful. Very happy
right.
to know.
So we have already randomized the order. Rob has the number 1 overall pick. Speck, you have the number 2. I'm going to go 3 and 4 in a snake-style draft. We're going to draft our starting 5. These are restaurant appetizers. Rob, Kamish, hit the music.
Let's just get all the nonsense, all the drama of the wing thing out of the way, because the first overall pick, I'm taking wings.
Bone in or boneless?
Bone in. Wings. Not, I would classify boneless in
Let's
a different
Let's not do that conversation.
Nuggets.
Yeah. Sauced nuggets are not what I'm picking. I am picking bone in wings with the first overall pick.
I don't hate that pick at all.
I don't hate that pick at all either.
I mean, I think it's the number 1 overall pick. You can certainly go left after you get the wings, and Rob will throw some nonsense out there. We've seen too many of his draft strategies.
Yep.
It was easy to get 1-1 correct. It's hard when you get to that third, fourth round. Speck, let's see how you're going to guide your team here.
I don't think this will fall back to me. So I'm going to go just a classic chips and queso.
I don't mind the chips and queso here.
I don't think I'd get it at 4 or 5.
Okay, with the number 3 and number 4 overall pick, I feel very good about these two selections. I'm going to go mozzarella sticks with the 3rd overall pick. I just love mozzarella sticks. They're really multifaceted. And you know what I'm going to go? I'm going to go a little fancier appetizer. But Rob, you and I know, whenever we've gone to a steakhouse, you know, give me a good crab cake.
No!
I need a good crab cake. You know what Maryland's about? Football and crab cakes, baby. Give me a mozzarella stick. Give me a crab cake. I'm going to go number 3 overall and number 4 overall, and I'm feeling great about my early selection.
My whole draft is ruined.
And you're going
I
up
thought
against...
one of those two would fall to me at 5.
I mean, you might be Brett Veach. I'm Howie Roseman.
That's cold. Oh, boy. I'm flustered. I'm going to take a safe player
here. Oh, here we go here. No, Rob, this is...
No, this is just a safe player.
Whenever you got to preface it with I'm going safe...
I'm on tilt right now. You took both my picks. Pepper Jack Bites.
That's an on-tilt pick.
Oh, now, my goodness.
It's a high-floor, low-ceiling second-round pick.
Pepper Jack Bites.
Love a good Pepper Jack Bite.
I can't believe I'm getting... I literally had... built my draft thinking I would not get this pick here. Nachos. Like, at a bar, you're watching the game, you get nachos for the fellas. Now, ground beef versus chicken, whatever. But nacho, I can't. Jalapeno bites went before nachos?
No, I said pepper jack bites.
What? Okay.
Not jalapeno poppers. Those are two different appetizers.
They're trash regardless of whatever you got. Certainly not worthy of a second round selection. I don't know if pepper jack bites were going to go drafted with Rob and I. They were going to fall off the board. They were going to be undrafted.
You're telling me I took Breland Speaks in the second
100% round? 100% you took Breland Speaks.
Kavari Russell? That's who's coming next for me.
I was sitting here being
stunned.
Like, I was like, all right, let me just get nachos off my list. No, stunned. I get nachos. I'm stuck on what to do in round three because a part of me wants to take something I know Carrington's going to take, and I don't think it's going to get back to me, and it might be a hair of a reach. It might be my FAU pick, and that doesn't matter. I'm going to take oysters on the half shell.
You are doing so well.
I do like oysters.
What?
They weren't getting back to me.
You guys were both born in the Midwest in Kansas City. You guys both can't put oysters in an appetizer draft.
I wasn't planning on taking oysters, but I do love oysters on a half shell. Rob knows, whenever we go to the steakhouse, shout out my guy at 801. Shout out to Nick. Hey, the two things I'm making sure that we get, give me the crab cake and give me the oysters. I'm not mad at this. Right now, I like Rob's draft more than I like my own. Rob knows his audience.
Give me buffalo chicken dip in the third round.
That's where I was going to go. I was going buffalo chicken dip.
I thought I could save that for the fourth round after not getting crab cakes or mozzarella sticks. That's a good third. That's a Travis Kelce in the third round.
All right. You know what? I feel good about this. You took chips and queso. That's normally not where I go when if I'm going dip.
Don't take spinach artichoke dip here. That's a lesser dip. You're admitting my second round pick. You're dropping your guy to the end of the third.
I do like spinach artichoke dip.
I gotta take it here.
I gotta take spinach artichoke dip here. Oof. I love a spinach artichoke dip. I really do. That's my favorite. I'm with you. I like buffalo chicken dip. I mean, you got the number one overall pick at quarterback. I'll take Josh Allen. That's fine. I can still win chips with Josh Allen.
I think you probably took someone a lesser Josh Allen.
All right. You know what? I'm going to take, at an Italian restaurant, I'm going to go meatballs. I'm going to go meatballs here as an appetizer.
Okay.
I like meatballs.
I think it's not even the best Italian restaurant appetizer.
I mean, mozzarella sticks is the best Italian restaurant appetizer.
I'm going to go meatballs here.
Rob with his oysters pick definitely has bruschetta just ready to go with his next pick.
I love a good meatballs here. All right, let's go through what we have really quickly. So Rob, in our appetizers draft, I ain't gonna lie, he's killing it. He's got three things that I love. Wings, nachos, oysters. You have chips and queso, pepper jack bites, which is still just ahead. You drafted Cleland Farrell in the second round. Just crazy. Buffalo chicken dip. I have had mozzarella sticks, crab cakes, spinach artichoke dip, and some good old-fashioned meatballs. You and your lady are sitting there. You got a bottle of wine. You have a pasta dish coming. You have them bring you a tray of meatballs. Always delicious. I'm going meatballs in the fourth round. All right, you guys have two appetizers apiece. We are celebrating the NBA draft this week. We're having our own draft. This is the appetizer draft.
So this is my last pick?
You have two more picks after this.
I have three picks already, though.
I know. We're going to starting five.
Starting five.
Starting
okay.
five.
Ooh, all right. I'm glad I asked that question.
We're doing basketball. We're celebrating hoops here.
My starting five. All right. Can I get away with this? I don't think Rob's going to take this. All right. I'm going to go boneless wings.
Okay. All right. Boneless wings.
I don't think you're having a bad draft. I don't love your draft.
I think I have a lot of starters. I don't have a lot of all pros.
You've been rushed right in the middle, it feels like.
Yeah, again, Carrington completely... I thought I would get one of the two between mozzarella sticks and crab cakes, and it's thrown off my entire drafting system.
I love both of those
They're
sticks.
They're great picks.
If I go somewhere and crab cakes are available, I'm ordering.
You got SGA and Jalen Williams in the first round.
I love them. I love
you
them
You got
both.
A great core.
I love them both. All right, Rob, you are finishing out your starting five here. You got back-to-back selections. You've had a good draft so far, but this is usually where Rob...
Now, he fell off with Rob the oysters goes, on the half shell in the Midwest. No, thank you.
This is where Rob, this is where it goes left.
Got to stick with my Midwestern roots here and take shrimp cocktail.
Where did you go to Aqua Pennies yesterday? What's going on right now?
He flew to California.
You know what? I'm not really a shrimp cocktail person. It's just the cold. I don't love it.
I'd rather have like a breaded shrimp with maybe like a sauce or something. Yeah, just a cold shrimp cocktail is not really for me.
Yeah,
either.
I'm not. Yeah, that's not something I would really ever order. I'm not a huge fan of it.
And for my final pick, I'll be taking crab rangoon.
I'm not mad at that.
I feel like I dominated this draft. I usually lose these things. I feel like I cooked
you. You had a very good draft.
No, he did. I love her crab rangoon.
You got two all pros and one starter. That's a good draft.
I would give Rob... I'm giving Rob an A-minus draft. He had an A-minus. It's solid.
I think it's B+. I think oysters in the third round is insane, but that's just me.
I love an oyster. I'm a little partial.
Yeah. All right, for my final pick...
Let's see where you're going to go.
I think I could get crushed for this. I love pigs in a blanket. Give me a good pigs in a blanket.
Are you having a Super Bowl party or are you going to a restaurant?
What's wrong
with pigs? Chips and queso, buffalo dips, boneless wings, and then pigs in a blanket?
Is the Super Bowl not the Super Bowl of appetizers?
No, it is. I mean, this just reminds me of Jalen Hurts with another touchdown. Cooper DeJean with another.
Yeah, and I need something comforting, so good pigs in a blanket.
That's what this reminds me
pigs
of.
Pigs in a blanket aren't good. You not like pigs in
no,
a blanket?
I do like pigs in a blanket.
It's my fifth round pick.
Rob is obviously thinking of going to a restaurant, and you're thinking about Chiefs-Packers week 4. Is what you're thinking about.
Maybe.
You guys have two different thoughts. I feel great here. Getting this in the final round, I'll take calamari.
Ugh, no.
It's not for me.
You guys are both born and bred Kansas Cityans, and we've got 50% from the field with seafood.
I love calamari. That's a great dish. I'm thrilled about it. If you had to throw in one honorable mention, where are you going? So it's like just missed the board for you. Where are you going?
Probably like potato skins.
Yeah, I was going to go like...
He is ordering from the house. Like
you can't make potato skins at home.
The frozen ones, you just throw them in the oven.
Yeah, I was thinking about going like sweet potato fries. That was kind of my others.
I had Bloomin' Onion just missing.
Yeah, cheesy fries would have been a good pick. Jalapeno poppers probably up there as well. But I already had the pepper jack bite, so I didn't want to double dip.
See, I'm only getting the jalapeno poppers from Church's. I don't know if Church's is a Two Americas restaurant or not, but
I've been in Kansas City long enough to have Church's.
Okay, well, I don't know. Church's has the jalapeno bombers, and they have the biscuits with the honey glazed on the top. A+ meal.
You guys had way too much seafood.
You of all people, have a jalapeno dish? I've seen you at the other place ask for none, and you get skittish when it touches a chip.
I do like the jalapeno poppers. Now, I can some foods I'm willing to brave through it. I'll brave through it for a jalapeno
Can I popper. Ask a after-the-fact question? I know we got to get out of here.
Here you go.
Could I have done a soup or a salad?
Yeah. I would have listed that as no.
Oh, you wouldn't count that as appetizer?
No, because technically that's a different part on the menu, but a lot of people have it as a starter.
Correct. I would have said that's... Appetizer is designed to be shared. I mean, maybe if you're out with your wife, you're sharing
that's
a soup.
That's a good point.
But nobody's sharing. If you're sharing soup, you're insane.
No, I think that's his point is yes, soup isn't one because it's not shareable.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought because I would have done Caesar salad or like a lobster bisque or something, but I didn't think that was available.
If you're at a restaurant, hey, I got a salad. You guys want to eat off this? I would think you're weird.
Yeah, that is weird, especially just pouring a cup of soup into someone else's cup. No, thank you.
All right, so let's go through the draft one more time in case you missed it. Rob has wings, nachos, oysters, shrimp cocktail, crab rangoon. Speck has chips and queso, pepper jack bites, buffalo chicken dip, boneless wings, pigs in a blanket. I have selected mozzarella sticks, crab cakes, spinach artichoke dip, meatballs, and calamari. Those are the selections in the appetizer draft.
I messed up. I forgot my favorite appetizer.
I mean, we realized when you took pepper
soft
jack bites.
Soft pretzel and cheese.
What? It's a great one.
I gotta go.
Coming up on the other side, we are going to get back to the NFL. Yesterday, we went through the AFC bold predictions. Let's go through the NFC. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Charles Harris. Charles Harris is also a part of Winner's Circle, and they are doing some really cool things in the community. We caught up with Ronnie Bell. He went to Park Hill. He played for San Francisco, recently switched teams. He is now playing for the Detroit Lions. If you want to go check out that conversation, you can do so on the podcast page, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Before we get to that, so yesterday we went through the AFC bold predictions by Colin Cowherd, and he is not picking the Chiefs to win the AFC West. He is picking the Chargers.
I think Kansas City is a wild card team, and Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, now they have their running back situation and offensive tackle set, upgraded receiver. Last year, the only thing they were missing was juice offensively. Their defense finished almost near the top of the league. It went from last to near first in 1 year. They built the culture last year, but free agency and a draft, and you know Harbaugh's good at the draft. I think they're going to be one of the better teams in the league. I think they're an 11-12 win team, and the Chiefs come into the season, which would concern me, with offensive line issues. So I like the Chargers to win the division.
Colin Cowherd is picking the Chargers to win the division. Everybody certainly doesn't have to pick the same team. You are allowed to pick whatever team you think is going to win the division. There's certainly no law against it. I just don't really see where the Chargers have the advantage over the Kansas City Chiefs. They don't at coach. They don't at quarterback. They don't at defense. They don't at defensive coordinator. I struggle to find where the Chargers are better than Kansas City. And if I'm making a preseason prediction, the team that I think has the better and more complete roster is going to be the team that gets the benefit of the doubt. That is not the Chargers to me. I am not picking the Chargers to win the AFC West. So that was the AFC bold predictions. Let's go through the NFC bold prediction. Colin Cowherd, not high on San Francisco. He has them once again missing the postseason.
Niners miss the playoffs. So first of all, they lost Dre Greenlaw, Hufanga, and Deebo Samuel. They didn't really want to. Those are good players. The players they have now in offense get injured. They have a sub-500 record, Kyle does, without Christian McCaffrey. How many games do you get? They're a sprained knee on Trent Williams at left tackle from having a bad offensive line. Again, McCaffrey coming off an injured season. They were 6-11 last year. I think Seattle's got an excellent roster. That Rams defense only getting better. And I think the Arizona guy can coach. I don't know how great they are, but they're going to upset, including the Rams. They're going to get some upsets next year. Brandon Ayuk is still recovering. Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings are ones. I think the schedule helps them, but they are a key offensive injury, Christian or Trent Williams or Kittle, from being a different team.
I don't really know if I think that's hot of an opinion. San Francisco missed the postseason last year, certainly had some injury issues. Their core of the team is starting to get up there in age. He mentioned George Kittle. He's over 30. Trent Williams, it kind of always feels like we are going into what could be the last season of his career. I don't know if I would necessarily call that a bold prediction. Rob, you know that I have never really wavered on the Los Angeles Rams. I do like their team. I think there's reason to like them coming into this year. It also feels like this upcoming season is a transition year for San Francisco. They made a lot of changes. He's right. You lose Dre Greenlaw. You lose Deebo Samuel. You lose a lot of the key pieces that helped you get to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. It just feels like they are in a transition as they're trying to figure some things out, especially with offensive weapons around Brock Purdy. Wouldn't be surprised in the least bit to see San Francisco miss the postseason. That's just one of the predictions. John Middlecoff, who I'm a big fan of, I really like his podcast, the Three and Out podcast. It is on the Volume Network. Here is his bold prediction. He thinks the Packers are going to win their division.
You know, I'm going to go with the Packers win the North. I think a lot of people, Minnesota, Detroit, Minnesota, a new quarterback, right? Detroit, two new coordinators. We don't know if Ben Johnson can coach. The Packers went 1-5 last year in the division. They won 11 games. Their quarterback also got hurt week one, which kind of threw them off. They have one of the best offensive coordinators in the league, who's their head coach in LaFleur. Their defense last year, getting Halfley from Boston College, was a top five unit in the league. So, and they got a lot of young players. I think the Packers are going to be a force to be reckoned with. I wouldn't be stunned if they were the number one overall seed.
That is John Middlecoff. He is on Colin Cowherd's show this week. He picked the Packers to win the NFC North. You know what? I'm not mad at it. I do think a couple of things about that division. Number one, some of it is believing with the Bears that last year, a lot of people, myself included, kind of hopped on the bandwagon last year. That bandwagon crashed, and you are kind of hesitant to do that same thing again. In terms of on paper, the Bears have done a lot of things right. I like their quarterback. I think their running game is capable. They've made a lot of necessary adjustments when it comes to that offensive line. Look at the weapons that they have invested in on the outside. There are a lot of reasons to like the Bears. Let's see if they can put it all together. I do think this is me hedging my bets a little bit. I do think that we're going to probably look back at the end of the year with the Lions and say, oh, we should have saw that coming. This is the team that was very injured in the second half of this past season, lost its offensive mind, lost its defensive mind, and are trying to get a lot of key pieces back. And sometimes I think that we kind of have the opinion that, hey, well, because you've been good these last couple of years, oh, you're going to stay a good team. Well, that's not how it always works. I mean, San Francisco made it to a Super Bowl, been to NFC Championship games, and then last year the injury bug hits, and then they missed the playoffs altogether. Why can't that team be Detroit? I do think there is a chance that we look back 5 years from now and we say, hey, their chance to go to the Super Bowl was when they lost to San Francisco. They had a lead heading into the second half. They were maybe the second best team in the NFL that year behind the Kansas City Chiefs. This was the Lions' chance. They then come back next year. They certainly were a good team last year, couldn't stop a nosebleed for the most part defensively, and then they lose their first playoff game. I do wonder if we have seen the crescendo of the Detroit Lions. So if you are a little bit sour on the Lions, the Bears may be a little bit overvalued. The Vikings have a first-year quarterback who was coming off a significant injury last year. The Packers are certainly going to be in the mix. They're going to be good. Let's see if Jordan Love takes a step forward. You could certainly sell me on the Packers being a lot better than people expect this upcoming season. Last bold prediction in the NFC that I want to play for you guys. Here's John Middlecoff. He thinks this could be Kyler Murray's last year in Arizona.
Kyler Murray, he's one of the best athletes we've ever seen. Is he a good quarterback? I think this will be his last season on the Cardinals. This GM and head coach did not draft him. He's never won a playoff game. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. How many years can you go with a high-priced quarterback and not win? Usually those guys get moved. He still has value. You could put a highlight tape together, just 10, 20 plays of Kyler Murray. He's as good as anyone in the league.
That's right.
But when you watch him over the course of a game, yeah, over the course of a month, he leaves a lot to
he
be
does.
Desired.
I don't think he can always see receivers like Tua's talked about because of size.
Well, he's 5'9". But he can move. He's got a huge arm. I still think he'd have a market. He's not a bad player. If anything, he's a frustrating player because the talent's there. He's pretty accurate down the field. Obviously, his speed is pretty special. But can he slice and dice the good teams when he has to in the third and fourth quarter down the stretch of a season? I don't see it happening. So I would expect Kyler Murray in 2026 to be in a new home.
To make a basketball comparison for Kyler Murray, I think he gets a lot of empty buckets. I think they're very flashy. I think they're very exciting. I think you look at him as, oh, this thing should work. For whatever reason, it doesn't. It's kind of like LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball has all the skills to be one of the top point guards in the NBA. He certainly looks the part. He puts together some thrilling, exciting plays. Just never really come together. Now, some of it is just the organization. You got drafted by Charlotte. They don't really have a proven track record of kind of player development. But if you're one of the best point guards in the league, usually you can kind of turn things around. Look at what we saw with Cade Cunningham and the Pistons. You would think that LaMelo could have a similar kind of impact. That has just not happened. It's just a lot of empty buckets and empty calories. It does kind of feel that exact same way when discussing Kyler Murray. I would not be surprised in the least bit if this is Kyler Murray's last season in Arizona. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Charles Harris. He is from Kansas City. He went to Lincoln Prep. He also went to the University of Missouri and was drafted in the first round by the Miami Dolphins. He and a group of professional athletes have put together what is called the Winner's Circle, where they're doing some great things in the community. I'll let him explain what that is.
Yeah, Winner's Circle is an organization, nonprofit organization that we started a couple years ago. Really looking to empower the community through business, through networking, also through the realm of sports. Just a group of guys, myself, Ishmael Wainwright, Dorian Giles, we all kind of got together and just began this this venture, you know, to really give back to the community in areas in which we may not have been as fortunate.
Right now we're talking to Charles Harris on the show. Charles, how have you seen this grow over the years? This is your third year doing this. How have you seen growth in this project?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Like, it really is. Year over year, we're seeing, you know, more, we're getting more feedback. You know, that's the biggest thing. Get more feedback from participants. So growth-wise, our business, I think that's the business development side is really, really impactful. I remember year one, we was kind of going over the basics of, like, when you have an idea, how to start an LLC, you know, just kind of basics. And then year two, I was brought in some more, like, VC, venture capitalists, who kind of talked about that realm of area. And then this year, we have even more discussions. It's kind of furthering people in regards to business development. So that's one area. You know, obviously our camps, our supporters in terms of the children who come out, they'll have a great time. We see their skills develop year over year when they return. And obviously, like a field day, for example, you know, we just see more participants in terms of the Kansas City community who come out, have a great time with us. And, people are just enjoying it. You know, they really are enjoying it. Every year, I think people in the city, we look forward to it. Different sponsors and donors, they look forward to it as well. So this is giving an opportunity for the city to come together for a great reason, for a great cause.
You guys are having a celebrity basketball tournament. Are you going to get out and play? Are you going to hoop in this thing?
You know, it's funny, last night, you know, we had our draft, and it's funny because I was speaking to Ishmael Wainwright about it. He was like, man, we should hop in there, you know, and I was like, you know, my knees don't work vertically like that. You know, I'm more horizontal, you know, horizontal playing. I say, you still jumping and ducking and all that stuff. I can still dunk. So I was like, hey, you know, I'm more so on the lateral plane and horizontal plane than vertical. So you won't see me out there in action, but, you know, Ishmael, you know, he's a basketball junkie, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him out there, you know.
Right now, we're talking to Charles Harris for a few more minutes here. He is part of something really cool that they are doing in the community. He went to Lincoln, went to Mizzou, and also made it to the National Football League. Charles, you recently turned 30 years old. I remember when I turned 30, I didn't think it was that big of a deal until it actually hit me. Then you have all these moments like, man, you know, you used to have all of these thoughts and, you know, and feelings. What was turning 30 for you like now as you're kind of getting to that second half of your career?
Yeah, no, without a doubt. That's a great question. Preemptively going into the 30s, you know, it is a lot of thoughts, you know, like, hey, man, it's been a whole decade, you know, since your 20s and you're post-college and you're kind of, you know, well into your career or whatever they may be. I really do think since turning 30, I've really been more so on his legacy play in regards to, like, how I want to be remembered. You know, I think that's something that a lot of people are hitting their 50s and 60s, but it started hitting me more now, you know, in my 30s, you know, kind of having, you know, a well career in regards to football and now kind of transitioning into other aspects of life. So the smaller things, you know, the quality of time with my family, being able to celebrate birthdays and holidays with individuals that I haven't done for the last, you know, 12, 13 years, because being occupied with football. But it's just the smaller things, you know, those moments, you know, are really starting to, you know, I'm starting to, like, capture more. I think for me it's more so legacy, you know, like how do I want to be remembered, you know, what do I want to establish, for what reason? And that's why Winner's Circle is one of those ventures where myself, Ishmael, Dorian Giles, you know, we kind of got together and was like, hey, man, let's bring this, let's do this for the city, you know. And it's interesting because even this year, you know, we had an adjustment from last year. At first it was like Charles Harris Football Camp. It was kind of like Ishmael Wainwright Basketball Camp. And they're like, yo, we're going to make this Winner's Circle basketball, Winner's Circle football, because we want all the athletes. You know, we want everyone from Kansas City to come out. Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, like, you know, come on over and let's just do it together. You know, why not? It's power in numbers. It's power in networking. It's power in using our platform together. So that's what Winner's Circle is about.
reading a little bit more about your career, you started off boxing as a kid. Do you ever think what would have happened if you had stuck with it and you would try boxing professionally?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because when I was a kid, I had so many different endeavors, like ambitions. I remember I stayed, you know, in the city, so we had this Aviation Technical Institute, and they used to come on TV all the time, and we used to drive past it every time. It was like by the railroad tracks. I remember I used to drive by it all the time. I was like, man, it'd be cool to work on engines. And then I was like, man, it'd be cool to be pilot. And I was like, man, it'd be cool to be boxer. You know, it'd be cool to be an astronaut. You know, it's so many different, like, things that you watch on TV or just, like, small influences and where I kind of, like, looked into those different careers. But, yeah, I mean, I always look at different, you know, paths, especially when I meet someone who's, like, a pilot or, you know, a boxer. It's like, man, like, what would that have been like? But nonetheless, you know, I'm grateful for where I am today. And, you know, the great thing about, you know, where I am, you know, in this moment of life is I have a whole nother, you know, X amount of years to live life and to fulfill dreams, you know, and to cherish moments that I may not have been as lucky to cherish before.
Growing up, who was your favorite boxer? Because, like, you and I, you're a little bit younger than me, but, you know, we kind of come from that Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao era. Who was your favorite boxer growing up?
Yeah, I mean, really, so I wasn't too into, like, the video and, like, film of boxing, but obviously Floyd, you know, like, Floyd was without a doubt, you know, one of my favorite boxers, you know, just the flashiness, you know, just everything about him, you know, so I would definitely say that Floyd for sure. And when that whole Pacquiao matchup came around, you know, that was a great one as well. So yeah, definitely Floyd.
How hard was it? Obviously, you're excited. You were a part of a team that won a championship, but it also had to happen against your hometown team in the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sure there had to be some feelings of confliction, maybe even in your own family. You know, they grow up Chiefs fans, they live in the city, and you guys are going up against them. What was it like being on the Eagles but going up against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, no, yeah, like you said, it was definitely some it was just some good laughs. You know, it was never like a, you know, real conflict. But, you know, I told my family, I told my friends, I'm like, yo, I have no saying. You can do it either way. You can wear the Chiefs jersey up under the jacket, under the Philly jacket or the Philly coat, or you can do it the other way around. You know, the Philly shirt up under the, you know, the Chiefs jacket. I say, it's up to you. It don't matter to me, you know, or just have a little rubber band or something, you know, a little band that says Philly. But, yeah, no, it's always been like that. Like, you know, my entire career, no matter where I played at, you know, Miami, Atlanta, Detroit, Philly, like, you know, my family and friends, they've always supported me. And without a doubt, like, I wouldn't have reached this milestone without them. So they know, you know, even going into retirement, like, post-career, you know, I have no doubt. You know, I have no problem sitting there and, you know, being a Chief head and sitting right there cheering with them or cheering for them. So, yeah, it's always going to be love with amongst my family and friends when it comes to that, you know, convergence of teams.
Charles, I don't think a lot of people know this, but as a player who was on the practice squad, what are your responsibilities throughout the week? Like, as you're trying to get ready and you're trying to help your team get ready for the Super Bowl, what are the responsibilities of you on Super Bowl week?
Yeah, without a doubt. So this is a very unique position for myself on my entire career. You know, I've never been at, you know, that particular position. Without a doubt, you know, it's an honor regardless, you know, regardless of the title or, you know, abbreviation of being active, being practice squad, you know, to be in the NFL in and of itself is an amazing thing. So that's first and foremost. And in regards to being on practice squad, like, you know, best of me being a veteran, even when I got to Philly, you know, I sat down with Howie, you know, our GM, and he was kind of like, look, man, I need your experience. You know, I need your insight on these teams, you know, in regards to, like, being in your room. At that time, Brandon Graham was, you know, big shout-out to Brandon Graham. Like, BG is an absolute amazing mentor and just a great, incredible human being overall. But even at that time, he was kind of already down. And he was like, look, man, I need your help in terms of rallying these guys and making sure they play, you know, all-out effort, make sure they know their opponents. And so it was really fun almost being a coach, you know, like within the room, which I've kind of always been, I say, post year five. But really in my higher career, being in that level, having that much pressure in regards to we know what's on the line, going to the playoffs, you know, going to divisions, and then finally getting Super Bowl, it was really amazing to be in that position where it's like, man, I'm not physically out there with you all, but be able to sit back and watch the game like a coach and be able to, you know, tell guys certain things I see as they come off the field. It really did give me that experience, you know, of, like, possibly wanting to coach one day. So, I'm you know, and all throughout my career, I had different coaches who coached me and was like, dude, you need to coach. Or, like, even players who were like, dude, you need to coach. And even family and friends who mentioned the same thing. And I'm not one to shut down any avenue. So, you know, you never know. I might look forward to being on the other side. So, yeah, no, it was a great summer. But in regards to addressing your question, but yeah, you know, being on that in that position on that level of team is really giving a great look for the opponent. You know, how do I emulate these guys who are great rushers for the Chiefs? You know, how do I, you know, tell them certain tips and tricks that I know about these guys? I've either trained with them or I've been in their presence, or we kind of train with the same coaches of some sort. So I kind of know them how my opponent knows more than them as well. So, in regards to preparation, it's just like anything else. And it's just like regular, it's literally playing like a regular game. You know, it's just one of the things where it's like, yo, you're just not physically out there. So the preparation is all the same, active, practice, quiet, inactive, it's all the same.
That was Charles Harris joining us on the show. He went to Lincoln Prep. He also went to the University of Missouri. He was drafted into the National Football League. He is a part of Winner's Circle. It is a group of professional athletes born and raised right here in Kansas City that are giving back to the community. This is their third year of doing this. It's not just about improving sports skills. It's about empowering and providing mentorship and life skill for youth and creating opportunities for small businesses and entrepreneur, and also celebrating pride in where we come from. Charles, man, I'm certainly rooting for you, man, whatever your next endeavor is. And also, as you continue your football career, man, I'm pulling for you, man. Really appreciate your time today.
No, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. That is Charles Harris joining us on the show. They're doing something really cool in the city with Winner's Circle. I would highly encourage you guys to check it out. Coming up on the other side, it feels like we are reaching a breaking point in sports. I'll explain what I mean. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you guys. I'm really curious how you guys feel about this story. Now, you know what? I'm not going to go into this topic with a preconceived notion. But I will admit, anytime we do a topic that would force you in any way to empathize with the players, you guys struggle with those topics. Now, yesterday there was an issue in the Arizona Diamondbacks game. They have a player. His name is Ketel Marte. His mother passed away in 2017 in an automobile accident. He was visibly upset on the field. Visibly. Manager comes out there. Other players come out there trying to figure out, hey, what's going on? It was very unusual. It was then confirmed that a fan in the stands said something about Ketel Marte's mother, who passed away in 2017. We don't know what was said. We don't know. We know something was said about his mother, who passed away in a car accident in 2017. This was the comment from the manager after the game about the incident.
We have to go to Ketel Marte. And there was obviously a very emotional scene out there. And we know how close you are with him. What can you share with us?
It was a terrible moment. Fans are nasty, and fans go too far sometimes. And I love my players, and I'm going to protect them.
Your protection starts way before today, though. You guys go so far. We were talking on the air. Right. I know you're a father figure to him, are you not?
Right, yeah. You know, I've known Ketel for 9 years, and he's had some unbelievably great moments and some hardships as well, and some really, really tough moments in his life. And I know those. And at the end of the day, we're human beings and we have emotions, and I saw him hurting and I want to protect him.
Can you tell us what you told him?
I love you and I'm with you and we're all together and you're not alone. And no matter what happens, no matter what was said or what you heard, that guy's an idiot and shouldn't have an impact on you.
That is the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks about what happened in the game regarding Ketel Marte, and a fan who has since been banned by Major League Baseball for comments directed towards Ketel Marte, whose mother passed away in a car accident back in 2017. This is the second incident in less than a week regarding a baseball player with a fan. This is a story that just didn't really get a lot of publicity. A player on the Tigers took a swing at a fan less than a week ago. He took a swing at a fan. Fan said something in the bullpen. Fan obviously took exception to it. Took a swing on him, suspended for four games. Didn't really register a whole lot to people. I don't know, man. I think we're at a weird breaking point when it comes to fan interactions and players. Now, I am not saying that you are not allowed to boo players. I'm not saying that you are not allowed to be critical about players. That is some of what they have signed up for. But I do think what we are seeing, especially as the money continues to grow and grow and grow in professional sports, people now seem to think that there is a dollar amount that you can make that makes you less of a person. Oh, you make $5 million. Why do you care about that kind of stuff? Wait, what? How is that the response in these scenarios? You're allowed to call a guy a bum when he swings and misses and a strikeout. But we had this topic when it came to college sports. You remember? Hey, these college athletes keep getting really bad DMs. Well, just don't get on Instagram. Wait, what? That's the response? Like, they're telling you that it's above and beyond what is normal. Hey, you played poorly. People are saying you should die. People are saying this. Like, maybe we should do something about this. In less than a week, two incidents. One fan a player took a swing at. The other fan has now since been banned of attending any Major League Baseball game. I don't know if it is now with social media, people feel really empowered to say whatever they want to say. I don't know if it is a, well, you guys make a lot of money, you should be able to handle it, and we just don't care about these things with you. I don't know if it's gambling and FanDuel and DraftKings that now people are just more angry because they have more financially invested in individual players than maybe they did 5-10 years ago. It feels to me like we are on the verge of something really bad happening at a sporting event. And I don't mean really bad in like a really serious event. I mean just, I think we're going to see that the wrong fan is going to say something to the right player, and that player is going to haul off and hit one of those fans in a way that we see. We just heard the story about the Detroit Tigers. I haven't seen any video about it. We don't know exactly what the players or the fans said to Ketel Marte, but there's enough cell phone cameras. These instances keep popping up. You remember, Rob, it was probably about a couple years ago. It got real bad in the NBA, like real bad in the league. And fans kept going up to the court. You know, they sit right there on the court and they were saying stuff and the players kept going back and forth. It was just a lot that was going on. Maybe this is just an overreaction. But can you just imagine how bad it has to be for a professional athlete to start crying on the field about something that a fan said? Not yelling, not going back and forth. I mean, on the field, in front of tens of thousands of people, and just start crying on the field about something that a fan said. Think about how much negative comments they get thrown at athletes all the time. Have any of them ever took a swing at you? This happened at a baseball game less than a week ago. I really think we are heading towards, at some point in the next 6 to 8 months, a year, I think we're headed towards one of these scenarios where the right fan just says the wrong thing to the right person, and that player is having a bad enough day where that player just hauls off and decks a fan, and we get that on camera. It just feels like it's been trending toward this for quite some time. Yesterday was a really, really bad moment in sports where, again, a player is standing on the field and is crying about something a fan said. This went above and beyond normal fan heckling for it to get to that level of a reaction from the player.
And it is one of those topics, and I remember we talked about it with, I believe it was Coleman Hawkins for K-State, and if it wasn't Coleman Hawkins, I apologize for saying it was Coleman Hawkins, talking about his DMs were full of just really hateful stuff, and I remember the text line was like, he's getting paid a lot, he should just deal with it. These are athletes, and it is fine to insult their ability or boo them or discuss what is happening in their life between the lines. when Aaron Judge came to Kansas, or Robinson Cano, we'll use him as an example. When Robinson Cano came to Kansas City, you guys booed, but it was about the baseball. He did a baseball thing you guys didn't like. I don't remember anyone at Kauffman yelling about his mom or his dad or, you know, any family members or crossing the line. It feels like fan behavior has always been, hey, we're going to boo because we dislike that player. And now, whether it be social media or whatever, there's more information available on these players, and fans are using it as weapons. Hey, Ketel Marte, I will personally admit I didn't know that his mother had passed. I know this because a fan in the stands knew and was screaming at him about it. I'm sure he Googled it and was, like, geared up to talk about it. You can boo Ketel Marte. You can say, Marte, why'd you strike out? But to talk about his deceased mother, it just feels like fans have crossed that threshold of what is and isn't okay, and no one seems to have noticed in sports, and now we are noticing, and it seems like the toothpaste might be out of the tube.
Yeah, and that's, and like this text here, and I think a lot of people feel this way. CDOT fans can say whatever they want. It's protected under the First Amendment. Yes, it can be offensive. Yes, sometimes it can be hate speech, but the constitutes on the side of the player should just have to ignore it. You can say whatever you want. You just can't strike another individual or assault another individual. This is what I mean, where I just think people have gotten real comfortable. Yes, you're not allowed to smack people, but there is a reason people say these things under certain protections, because you don't just go up to random people on the street and say these things. You know right then and there, there is a penalty for it, right? Rob, how many people tell you on the text line that they don't like you or they don't like me or they don't like the show? How often do these interactions happen in real life? They don't happen in real life. So yeah, we can have the, you can say whatever you want. You're not supposed to hit people. I'm imagining if you caught Ketel Marte outside in a different scenario and you went up to him and said something about his mom who passed away in 2017, I don't think he's thinking, man, you know what? This might be a misdemeanor if I smack you. No, you're just getting smacked. it's crazy to me. I'm not here advocating violence, but maybe in some way we just got to get back to cause and effect. Like, there is a reason. Yes, on the internet, there's not a penalty when you say crazy things. We all grow up in the real world. If you do certain things, usually there is a immediate consequence that happens with it. And we just forgotten that in a lot of ways. I'm telling you, I really think that we are about a year away from one of these fans just feel like, hey, I can say whatever I want to say to these guys. These guys can't do anything. And you're going to say something to the wrong player who's made $200 million in his career that can live with whatever the penalty is. And he's just going to hit one of these guys. And that's just going to be the deterrent of, hey, I am happy to pay the $2 million lawsuit. You guys will not talk to me like this anymore. It just seems like we are heading towards something like that happening in professional sports. I feel really bad for what happened to Ketel Marte. Again, I cannot imagine of how bad it was what the fan said. If you start crying in the middle of a baseball game, that is a really, really bad thing. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.